Thanks for listening to the Lakers Fast Break Podcast, part of the Hoopheads Podcast Network. Check out all their awesome basketball shows today at hoopheadspod.com. Back with another episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break. Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, and Game Source. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our shows. And if you can, please give us a 5-star review. I really don't know how many times I can do this in different fashions. I don't know. There's only so many variations for all my shows. But if you can, please give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Plus, if you can like, share, subscribe, follow, or do anything that you can to support us right here at the Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, and Game Source, plus all the things that we do at Lakerholics.com, it is sincerely appreciated. Well, the season is right around the corner. Training camp is beginning. As soon as you hear this, if you're hearing this on audio, because this is dropping on Monday, you're going to hear this. This is the time of the year. They're going to go ahead and start getting on the fresh new press jerseys, and everything's going to be great because it's media day, and they're going to talk about how they're going to be ready for a championship at Lakerland, and everything's great. And then the work begins, because training camp is here this week, and we're going to be talking about all the great stuff that's going on. They practiced over the weekend. They started working out here in Vegas, and I was so excited to hear them doing that in advance of the training camp. So things are going well there. But first off, to continue the series, before we get into that with all the Lakerholics, I wanted to go ahead and continue the series of team outlooks for other teams and how they are going to be shaping things up. And here today to talk about the Toronto Raptors, no longer in Tampa Bay. They're back in Canada. Is a Canadian and a good man indeed. You got to check him out, even though he is a huge Laker fan and our Laker historian at Lakerholics.com. It is the Magic Man, Sean Grice. And Sean, great to have you here once again. And before I bring the two shy, introverted guys known as Jamie Sweet and also as well Laker Tom, because, you know, they never say anything when they're on the air. Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to go ahead and make sure and give you time to talk about Toronto Raptors. I've had great conversations with Mega Price on San Antonio, had a great conversation with Kuma Kane on Denver, obviously Raphael with Portland. I have one coming up this week with Bryce Lewis on Atlanta, and I have lots more on the way. But Toronto is a team that I think a lot of people are all over the place on. Some people see them as a potential playoff team. Some of them see them as a potential play-in team. And then some people just say that, you know what, the lottery is straight for them. So I want to hear your thoughts. I know Pascal Siakam is not an opening day starter because he's still going to be out injured, and he's probably going to come back, let's say, November sometime. It's looking like that. But your thoughts over on the team before I bring the other guys in for the rest of the show.
Yeah, Gerald, I thought your synopsis about the Raptors was 100% spot on. I think they could fall anywhere from the 6th seed to the 12th seed.
Nobody has a good read on them, I don't think.
No, there really isn't a good read on them. The starting five, whomever they are, really don't have any chemistry together. So that's something Nick Nurse is going to have to adjust to on the fly, as he seems to always do. And for the most part, you know, besides last year when COVID just absolutely killed any aspirations they had of a decent season, he seems to adjust well on the fly. He just has a Swiss Army knife mentality where he can just plug and play guys, and he really doesn't care about matchups, so to speak, as long as he's able to gain chemistry with the guys he has. I mean, point taken, Scotty Barnes was a really big surprise here in Toronto, Gerald. I'm not sure about you and other draft experts, but
he was a little bit of a surprise. I mean, he jumped all over the place. Originally at one time it was going to be Suggs out of Orlando now, and then it turned into someone else, and then Barnes for a while was going to be in that spot. A lot of people were really high on it because he took a big swing, and then he dropped back a little bit, and by the time draft time came around, he was number 5-6 choice. So when he was chosen number 4, people thought that was a surprise. I think a lot of people out there are underestimating what he'll be able to do. But the thing is, he's got to be able to shoot. If he's not able to shoot, all those playmaking skills, all those defensive skills, I'm not going to say they're going to be for naught, but they're going to be hindered because he will not have as much time on the floor to develop because he can't shoot the ball.
Right, right. I think from what all we've seen on tape from him and what the scouts and what the Raptors are looking for is basically a small ball 5. And you're right, Gerald. I mean, if they see him as a Draymond Green type, then he has to be able to shoot the long ball. One of the reasons why Draymond will be considered obviously one of the best defenders ever, but also one of the best utility players ever, was because he was a threat to shoot the 3. I mean, he didn't shoot it lights out at times, but he was still a threat. And I think you're right. A Barnes needs to be a threat to shoot, or otherwise it's not going to work.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm looking forward to seeing what the Toronto Raptors will offer. I'm not exactly down on Kem Birch because I he played here at UNLV and he's worked his way, you know, from someone who looked like Europe was going to be his calling for his entire career, mm-hmm. to someone who's worked really hard to become an efficient player. He gets a sign up from Toronto, gets the contract, and as a native Canadian, a lot of people are excited about that. But he's just an average center at best. But in today's NBA, it's really about what's fielded around him. I think that the Pascal Siakam injury will hurt. Mm-hmm. What I'm hopeful that they'll be able to get around it. OJ Anunoby, I mean, he's got to go ahead and pick up the pace. He's got to go ahead and continue his progression upward. Van Vliet on the offensive end, you know, he could be really devastating, and that's the case. Hopefully it will continue because he's now going to be the veteran. He is now the Kyle Lowry of the team, and where he will lead the team is going to be very important for the overall outlook of the team. So I'm very curious to see what is going to take place. I mean, there's talent there, but it's not all piecing itself together. I think there's still one or two moves away.
Yeah, it seems like they're a seesaw, Gerald. They're a teeter totter. They could possibly win 12 of 15, but then they could slide and lose 6 of the next 8.
No, I was going to ask you. So if really just right now you're here in Vegas with me, man, you got to place a bet on where you think it's they're going to be at, where you think they're going to fall.
I think
you really have to, you have to put the Canadian money down on it. What are you doing?
Okay. I'm going to put them. I think they're in the lower end of the play-in tournament this year, Drill. I think they can compete from anywhere from the 8th to the 10th seed. I think that's their ceiling right now. They really have a big problem here because they drafted Malachi Flynn really high. Yeah. And he didn't really shine. He didn't really show Raps fans, you know, why you put so much capital and resources into him. So, and now you have Goran Dragic on the team. Are you going to play him much, or are you going to allow Flynn to develop? That's another little wrinkle that should be pointed out here, Gerald. I mean, there's another point guard on the market that wants out of a situation, but Goran Dragic has a very eatable contract, if you will, and if a team is struggling, I would say it would behoove them to move on the Dragon rather than Ben Simmons.
Exactly. So, you know, be that as the case, I still think that if I had to say where I think the Toronto Raptors is going to land, I would probably say play-in. I would probably say eighth is what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. Maybe at best eighth or ninth, I think, and they're going to fit right there. I still think, again, that they're going to have a great season from Pascal Siakam and OG Anunoby. I really am unsure if that you're going to get it from Siakam because he already had some issues with Nick Nurse already. So could he end up being traded by the end of the season, trade deadline? You never know. I know, absolutely. Just we'll have to take a look and see, but I do think the pieces are there if they stayed together to be an eighth or ninth seed and a play-in tournament individual team that's there for you.
Definitely. I agree. I think at best they're between an eighth and a tenth seed. I would say they likely get in the play-in, but fall in the play-in. I don't expect them to make the playoffs.
Absolutely. And Chris Boucher, even though I really love him as a player, some of the things that he could bring, I just don't – he's older as a prospect. So I don't know if he's got much more of a ceiling that he can go through. And so I'm not sure how much more he can develop. But, you know, I'm hoping for the kid, and I'm hoping for the Raptors that they'll be able to be very competitive on the way back. So we'll see what happens there. But any last thoughts on the Toronto Raptors before I bring Laker Tom in to talk some Lakers?
Yeah, Gerald, you know, over the past 18 months through the COVID pandemic, we saw a NBA where it was crowdless, and you were able to find out what players really get juiced up or can get into an extra gear because of the crowd. And one of those teams was the Toronto Raptors. The Tampa Bay crowd just wasn't as electric as Jurassic Park and the Scotiabank Arena can be at times. So with them coming home and having that advantage, it's going to be very interesting to see how they adjust to the crowds again.
Absolutely. So we'll wait and see on that. But I'll tell you what, the Toronto Raptors will be a competitive team in the Eastern Conference. How competitive? Not quite sure yet. I still say they're one or two players away from really getting back to where they once were when they were a world championship team. So we'll see what happens there. But it is the Lakers Fast Break. It's Gerald Glassford along with the Magic Man, Sean Grice, and of course, the mastermind behind Lakerholics.com. Be part of the conversation today at Lakerholics.com. And boy, according to my email, there was quite a bit of conversation this week on stuff I posted out recently. It is Laker Tom. And Laker Tom, great to have you back. I mentioned this earlier this week, last week to Joe Soro in regards to LeBron bringing the whole crew for this mini training camp that they're doing before training camp here in Vegas, which I so wish I could have access to, which I so know that I cannot have access to. But be that as it may, I mean, when you see that encouraging sign that they're getting together and at least some of the members of the team, some of the others are actually on The Masked Singer, but we won't go there. But when it comes to what's going on with the Lakers, does that bring you does that warm your heart that the Lakers are already getting serious about this upcoming NBA season?
Yeah, I think that they've all of the signs look very positive for the Lakers this year. I think they started the offseason by saying that, you know, considering the injuries and everything, we'll be happy to run it back. Then they got rid of everybody but three guys on the team. So it's obviously some second thoughts about what they wanted to do and so forth. I think it was a very successful offseason. I think that Rob Pelinka did a terrific job in accomplishing the three things that he said were the Lakers' primary goals, namely getting a elite playmaker in Russell Westbrook, signing 6 3-point shooters, including two guys who are excellent defenders, or should be, and bringing back Dwight Howard and signing another low-post defensive player to give us some rim protection and the lob threat that we haven't had last year with Gasol and Montrezl Harrell. I think things are set up. I think the whole key to everything is that Russell Westbrook joining the Lakers pretty much forces them to play a lot more small ball with LeBron at the four and AD at the five. And I think that's going to be the single biggest benefit of that trade. Rob Pelinka has basically kicked the ball to Frank Vogel and said, here's the roster we've gotten for you. It's a roster designed with a lot of guys to play the two, so many that you'll have to spill some over to play the three. It's a lineup that basically says start LeBron and AD at the four and five, and you got three superstars. You need to have two shooters to go with them. It's one of those situations where now it's up to the coach to go out there and figure out who are going to be the 11 guys that'll be the rotation. You know, I happen to think the two guys that won't make the rotation, at least from the signs that I'm reading, are probably Rondo, since Vogel has said he's now Jared Dudley.
Well, and he's going to be kept on ice until the playoffs.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing, because regular season Rondo just irritates the you-know-what out of us.
Yes, well, so. We'll just have to see. We'll have to see. I don't know.
Do you remember our first episodes roster together?
We have a deep roster that playoff Rondo may evolve into Jared Dudley too. We'll just have to see. But I think of the 13 players on the roster right now, I think that it's Rondo and Jordan that are the two who are likely not to get minutes.
I still think they're going to do the anti-Laker Tom starting lineup. I have to see it, man.
I don't see that happening, Gerald. And I guess to a certain extent, I think the Lakers are so good.
You're such an optimist.
With three superstars, they're so good that they probably could even live through that. But you've got to play the way that you're going to play in the playoffs.
You've got to
practice
that.
What you're going to do.
I am with you. Sean is with you. The entire Laker Nation is with you. But again, you always see things through the purple and gold colored glasses. Realistic way. And seeing the track record that's there, you know,
historically, when I've looked at things from that standpoint, whenever the Lakers have been really competitive, we've won. So what do you expect me to do?
That.
You expect me to react against what has been, I mean, I've been a Laker fan since 1971 when we traded for Wilt Chamberlain.
I understand.
I've seen all those
that.
Championships. I've watched all of these things go through. And I haven't been as excited about any Laker team in history as much as I am excited about this particular team.
We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
The better that these Marvel films do, the higher the standards are going to be for not just other films in general, but other Marvel films also.
I think it's really hard to end a show with this many fans in a satisfying way.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Playing worldwide on radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts.
So the great Roman emperor, Marcus Aurelius, once wrote, "What is a man? What is his nature?" And me and Gerald both see what Vogel's ultimate nature is when it comes to a starting five. Unfortunately, how archaic and backwoods it is in 2021 in this NBA, that's the way he wants to roll. And like Gerald said,
I don't think it's going to happen.
Until we see it,
I'll believe it when I see it. Or as I always like to say, the opposite way, I'll see it when I believe it.
You know who says things like that, Gerald? Clippers fans.
Well, I'm just telling you right now, Laker Tom, we have been doing this show
now. We're going to win a championship. Kawhi is going to be the best player. We got the best owner. We got a new stadium. All those crybaby Laker fans are going to be coming over to our stadium and putting on Clippers uniforms.
Well, you got to admit that arena, new arena, is kind of nice. You know, the Staples Center is now getting on, you know, along in the tooth, and you know, it would be nice if they freshened the Staples Center a little bit up.
Yeah, they. I have to admit, they got better bathrooms than they got at Staples.
Yes, absolutely. Well, T-Mobile here in Las Vegas. Okay,
so going on bathrooms, by the same token, really there's probably a greater use for those bathrooms if you're a Clippers fan. Then
this is true. This is true. Go ahead, Sean.
Tom has just inspired me. I'm gonna change my will now. So when they bury me in my Lakers purple and gold, they can turn me around so my posterior is up, so Clippers fans can kiss my butt one last time.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. But I will say, you know, the newer arenas that are out there, again, the T-Mobile here in Las Vegas, absolutely great bathrooms, you know, for whatever that's worth. I mean, and then again, this it's a nice arena. I will give the Clippers that. I mean, Ballmer's going to dish out the cash.
SoFi is pretty impressive, I got to say.
SoFi, I can't wait to go.
Stadium.
I mean, I went there, you know, because I was born down the street from the Forum, but I went there as a kid to Hollywood Park when it was a racetrack, and to see what it's now as SoFi, I can't wait to go there and see how modern age it is. And, you know, we've got a brand new stadium here for the Raiders here as well. Just, I love being in these newer modern environments.
You like Hollywood Park?
Well, Hollywood Park is gone. SoFi Stadium is
gone. My dad dragged me. We moved to Southern California. We moved to Arcadia so that my dad could be close to Santa Anita, which he remembered from a trip.
My mom
used to drag me and my sister to Del Mar, to Hollywood Park, to Santa Anita. We would make the rounds. He had this system where he was sending my mother out to watch the parimutuel boards and look for secret messages from the Trumpians behind the board and place the bets and, you know, and We'd wait. Every day I'd go get the racing form, give it to my dad. He'd tell my mom what horses to bet, which ones to watch. She'd go off to the track. Sometimes she'd drag us with us. Sometimes we'd stay home. But
I enjoyed my time with my dad. It was just kind of a bonding thing. We just did it on the casual going to Hollywood Park.
You weren't walking up to the parimutuel thing and betting.
No,
my dad,
I don't think I could
my
do that.
My dad was my bookie because I would give him my bets at the start of the day.
I don't think they would allow an 11-year-old to do that. No. I like throwing around the paper when
stadium.
We lost. You know, throwing around the paper on there.
My mother would bring home the tickets for us kids to tear up.
Ah, fair enough. Confetti all the time at Hollywood Park. But now to SoFi Stadium. I'm just saying that I love these modern stadiums. I'm hoping that the Lakers will go ahead and start dishing out some of that cash they get from the Lakers channel and all that to go ahead and improve the Staples Center. I think it's something that
$50 million for the jersey patch, man.
Yeah, $100 million over 5 years
for the jersey patch.
Yeah, $100 million. So you can do it. You can do it.
Twice as much as the next closest.
Absolutely. And here also today to join us to maybe talk as well his memories of the Staples Center, because we're all admiring
gotten off the beaten path.
Yes, we've already gotten off the beaten path, but we're going to be talking about the top 100 players, NBA players, and where the Lakers rank as far as that's concerned, and our disdain, I'm sure, for that. But here today to also talk about some great things for the Lakers, a good man indeed. You got to check out his five things articles. They're now available at Lakerholics.com. It is Jamie Sweet. Jamie, good to have you back. I look forward to doing some late night Laker shows with you coming up during the season. Looking forward to some Laker fast breaks late night out there for everybody, you know, checking that out. But my friend, I wanted to ask you this before we hit up the top 100 with ESPN and SI. I wanted to hear your thoughts on the Clippers new arena. I don't look at it as just a Clippers home. I look at it as an arena. And as arenas, you know, seeing more modern facilities, more capable of doing the things we want to do as far as Wi-Fi, as far as ordering food, bringing it to you through apps, and just making it more convenient for the consumer. I know that they're doing that here with the T-Mobile and also Allegiant Stadium here in Las Vegas. It's nice to see what they're doing there. I'm just hoping that the Lakers will get the message and say, you know what, I think we need to up our game with the Staples Center as well.
I'm sure they will. I mean, it's important to remember.
Sure.
I was about to say it's important to remember that the Lakers don't own the Staples Center the way Steve Ballmer is going to own the Intuit Center.
AEG owns Cobes. It, I think.
Yeah, but they don't own the Lakers. It's a partnership. It's not
They only have a percentage of the Lakers, I think.
It's not the same situation that the Nets, the Warriors, the Clippers, and whatever team ends up in Las Vegas, because there will be one someday. Most likely the Sacramento Kings if they play there. if they can do anything right ever at all.
Become a Kings fan.
They'll be a number two team here in Vegas. Okay? Yeah. Like, number one team.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am bringing down my Lakers jersey.
I can't wait to see that big poster of Luke Walton coach behind you, just to the side of the Mass Effect poster.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's not happening. I have my Lakers t-shirt right there, 88 world champion back-to-back. That ain't never going down.
So, Laker fans don't generally jump ship. People jump onto the ship after a little while.
But I root for things here in Las Vegas because this was town that everybody passed up on. And, of course, we know what happened with the NBA All-Star game, the tragedy that happened there during the 1990s and the NBA souring on Las Vegas for several years. And, this town has grown.
Man.
Well, gamblers, and obviously that for as well. But
now they're embracing all those gamblers.
Yeah, they're embracing. But it's just where this town has been. I mean, it was growing. It was just everything was great. Then the housing crisis just crashed the city to no end.
Right.
And we're finally rebuilding to where we're at, coming out of the pandemic, hopefully one day. And, just things are looking forward up for it. I know people are here now suddenly transformed Raiders fans, which is so funny to see all these Derek Carr jerseys that are coming out and them like that.
Yeah, no.
Go ahead, Sean.
Tom and Jamie can verify. I've been a Raiders fan since they were in LA.
It's true.
In Oakland and now Las Vegas. So wherever.
Yeah, they left me in LA. They left me in LA.
They could play Bolivia, Gerald. They'll still be a
Central. Oh, don't worry. If they get enough cash, they will. They will.
They'll be the first Bolivian team.
So who's running the Raiders today?
Oh,
that's still Davis.
So Art Davis, man. He's still holding on.
Really? You're kidding me. I thought he died 5 years ago.
No, his son. It's still in the family.
It's Mark Davis. Yeah, Mark Davis.
Well, who's the general manager? He's the famous coach.
John Gruden.
What happened to John Gruden?
He's still coaching, unfortunately.
He's still coaching?
Well, I should say that. They're
paying a lot of attention
to be fired after all of these performances
give him
the last
time.
2 years.
It's two seasons.
I mean, they're 2-0 right now. We'll see what happens.
Raiders podcast. Take this discussion off the podcast. Listen, I just wanted two things about the new Steve Ballmer arena. One, they have got the absolute best mascot that you could even imagine. That California condor. Well, think of it this way. If the California condor.
Is that what that thing is?
Yeah, it's a California condor with
state
biker
bird
helmet
that
on
you
it.
Guys have, the one that's rare, the
that,
one that's
that joke
almost,
of the,
no, it's an endangered species, just like Clippers fans. It's perfect. Thank you. I don't bring these things up with no end in sight.
That's probably the most Ballmerish mascot in the NBA.
It's bald.
It's
like
so
Ballmer.
Perfect.
It probably talks too much like Ballmer. It's gonna jump around a lot like Ballmer does.
I mean,
but he's also got a lot of
Ballmer's like the uncle.
And like Ballmer, it won't help them win any games. So it is basically the representation of Steve Ballmer.
It's
an arena
where you can take a photo of yourself and turn it into a cartoon. That's what I thought Ballmer did with it.
All right. Fair enough. It is a new arena for the Clippers, and God bless them. I like it as far as the arena is concerned. I don't care the
Me
team
too.
Side.
It looks cool.
But,
it looks cool.
Yeah, it
looks
cool.
Looks cool.
I think that whole area. And they didn't tear down the forum.
A lot of empty seats.
And they didn't tear down the forum. Exactly.
And they didn't tear down the forum. I really appreciate that Steve Ballmer doing. Because
I've been to several concerts. I've been to several concerts at the LA Forum since the Dolans bought it.
Yeah.
Since the Dolans bought it, and then now they sold it. So it's cool. Now you get to enter through the old celebrity forum entrance, like how the celebrities used to like walk through this like secret tunnel down next to a bar.
That's
going to
be. Well, that's going to be the subject of the HBO Max series. Yeah, that's
the coming out.
Club,
somebody just dropped out of that too. I can't remember who it was, but
I know they'll replace. They'll be fine. They'll be fine. They got to get
all
that stuff on the air.
Who's going to play Genie?
Genie is. I don't know. I'm just kidding. I don't know.
If she. We'll find out. But again, we're going to go ahead and cover that in a future episode. But guys, we're here to talk about the top 100s that came out this week from ESPN and SI, and several other outlets have tried their own hand at marking the NBA's best players. And I notice a theme that LeBron is no longer the number one choice on anyone's list. B, Anthony Davis is barely squeaking into top 10 on some of these lists. And C, Russell Westbrook is now in the 30s to 40s area of many of these lists. So I want to hear your guys' thoughts. Sean, I'll start with you because I know you wanted to talk earlier about something. And, you know, you remember, as with these two, that's going to be a tough task to do. But my friend, you know that. Come on. You know, you guys, you know,
don't
you guys,
play that game, Tom.
Yeah, don't play that game. Don't play that game.
Sean, yeah, Tom, who was like, five minutes after free agent.
Well, that's what I called you. That's what I called you guys, introverts, before we went, you guys came on. But Sean, getting back to what we're talking about, A, B, and C, you see the three that's there. I mean, you know, obviously they're going to use that as motivation and just basically go ahead and make their comments on that when somebody asks them, because you know they're just waiting to go ahead and say that. But your thoughts on, was it fair? Was it not fair? Your thoughts on the three and how they were rated in these top 100 countdowns.
Yeah, I got to be honest, Gerald. I find these lists to be kind of arbitrary at this point in time. Like, they need copy and that. And, you know, it's subjective, obviously. So I mean,
if we did a list of the top 100, it would be our opinions on it, and people would have an issue, I'm sure, with something that we did. Yeah.
Of course.
But we might do it legitimately trying to actually rank them rather than allowing our biases to determine where people end up.
Well,
if they
want to
pay me, I'll sure do it.
Kevin Pelton is quoted as saying the reason he dropped LeBron down is because injuries like he got this year, which put him out, are the kind of injuries you get when you get older.
Solomon Hill
slamming into your leg is something that's really old people got to watch out for.
Well, you know, that's not the case.
That's why he dropped him to number three.
Sean, go ahead.
I think LeBron is still a top five player, objectively, Gerald. I mean, if we're talking age, we're talking health, we're talking everything being even, I think he's still a top five player.
Agreed.
I think Anthony Davis being on the borderline of top 10, you know, I've been the biggest AD apologist on Lakerholics for years. Even when Laker fans wanted to completely go the nuclear option with Dell Demps and the New Orleans Pelicans, I tripled down on acquiring this man. So I was really disappointed in his season this past year. So I think that's a fair assessment of where he is. If he plays like a monster this year, and I've seen his body, he looks like he's ready to take on the world, actually, then I think he vaults into the top five again. I think Russ being rated that low is complete and utter bias by the media. The media hates Russell Westbrook. They always have. They've always managed to find a way to cut down Russ at any point in time. When he came in.
Let me say this on AD. AD, if he plays the way like he did this past season, everybody goes in years. And I was just talking to my daughter about this. You can't say years because we've already had three seasons within the calendar year. But you know, if he plays like he did last season for most of the season, that frustrated Laker Tom, I can get that. But if he plays the way we know he can play and plays like the guy that we saw in the bubble, he's one of the top five players in the world and an MVP candidate. So we'll see from there. But, you know, going on what you're talking about with Russell Westbrook, where would you slot him? Where, in what range? Because I would say for me would be around 25, in that range, maybe.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yes. I'd slot him in 25 to 30 range.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think anything below 30 is just, you know, it's a slight on him. It's projection to me. Russ became the greatest triple-double threat of the 21st century. Oscar Robertson is the greatest triple threat of the 20th century. No question about it. Inside the three-point line, Oscar is the monster. Outside of the three-point line, I would say if you're looking for your triple threat king, it'd be Russ.
Oh, there you go. I mean, that's some good sound advice. I mean, 25 to 30, I would not argue, especially for the fact that he is 32. You are going to see some declining returns, especially for someone who bases his game off of speed and athleticism at some point in time. Maybe not this year, maybe not next year, but at some point in time. And with younger players that get all the pub and excitement, I can see why someone who is an established player that's out there like Russell Westbrook gets slotted down a bit, because people like the shiny new car. They like the shiny new thing that's out there, the new player, the fancy player that just came out of the hot rookie or whatnot. So, yeah, I understand how that goes. So 25 to 30 is probably fair enough to me.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Hey, hoopheads, we all hate ankle sprains, and they happen way too often. Ankle injuries are the number one sports-related injury. Arise is trying to change that. With the iFast, your athletes get preventative protection and full mobility. Athletes no longer need to wear bulky braces that limit performance and give mediocre protection. Anyone playing sports should be using these products. Keep your athletes in the game. Don't wait for them to get hurt to take action. Visit www.arise.com, spelled A-R-Y-S-E, and use the code HOOPHEADS to get 20% off the future of performance. That's A-R-Y-S-E.com with promo code HOOPHEADS to get 20% off.
Laker Tom, getting to you, my friend, in regards to the top 100. I know you got a chance to see the lists that were out there. Your thoughts on, again, putting LeBron where he was at, AD where he was at, and, of course, Russell Westbrook, which seems to be the, as Magic Man and I both have contention on, where he was slotted at.
You know, it's all of these lists, like Sean says, these lists are arbitrary. For one thing, what is your criteria? You know, is it the top 100 players?
I wouldn't put Kawhi right or Murray because they're injured, you know? And I wouldn't put rookies.
And, you know, and it's the only thing worse of the type of lists are the list, for example, that the NBA is going to come out with the top 75 players for their 75th anniversary. Right. Well, they also came out with one on the 50th anniversary and on the 25th anniversary. So on the 50th anniversary, a bunch of guys who were on the top 25 in the 25th anniversary didn't make the 50. Right. And there's a bunch of guys now in the 75 that were on the 50 that are going to be missing, because you got 25 years of new players coming on to take those places. So there's a lot of arguments going on that what the NBA ought to do is just leave the guys who made the list before and add to it, rather than just saying, by the way, the airline is full, we got five new guys, and you guys get off of the plane. That doesn't, you know, that's really unfair. I think LeBron, realistically,
oh my God,
you know, I don't like the criteria, because I would say today that LeBron James is the number one player until somebody dethrones him. And I don't mean Solomon Hill dethrones him.
Let me ask you this, Kevin Durant proves he's a better player,
or Giannis proves he's a better player.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, Giannis in the finals, he wowed me. I was always on the fence, and yep. I was always on that other end with Giannis.
He wowed me, but he told you the truth in his quote when he said LeBron is still the best player.
Yeah, but when he did what he did at exactly the time you needed, that showed me something. But I'm not saying he's the best player. Kevin Durant, though, with what he did and coming off of the Achilles and obviously doing what he did for Team USA as well, this is almost to the point where he was when he was considered after the finals, where he and LeBron matched up and he actually.
You mean every year when they tried to find somebody to replace LeBron at the top of the list?
Well, there was that one year, that one summer when he won the title ahead of LeBron. I actually was slotting him ahead of LeBron. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to say run away from it. That was what I was saying then. It's what I say now. That was a period of time, for a brief period of time, LeBron regained it and obviously kept it going for quite some time. But right now, it's up in the air for me between, you know, those three candidates.
I actually think
you can't go wrong with any one of those three.
Well, you know, listen, it's all arbitrary. We all have different opinions, and everybody, there's good evidence for all of those players. They're all great players. I mean, I think everybody would agree probably on this, that tier one of those three guys, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, who else are you going to put in tier one other than KD, well, Giannis, and LeBron?
That's a good question, because if he plays like he did in the bubble, AD I would put in that tier one. But then again, we saw what happened because he was tired, fatigued, injured last season. Right. We saw what the not-so-great version of AD was for most of the year. But if he plays like he does in the bubble this season, I think he can be in that tier one conversation.
If he plays like he played in the bubble, he could be the MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, and Finals MVP.
Absolutely.
This debate about
here's the bigger question. I look at these three things. For example, I agree with Sean. I think it's pretty fair judgment. You know, I mean, this depends on the criteria. I don't take away a crown from somebody until somebody beats him. LeBron's still the best as far as I'm concerned, but I can see ranking him number three. I think that's fair. And I think AD dropped out of the top five into the second five. I think that's fair. As for Russ, it was kind of interesting. He was 34th in the ESPN one. Now, when I look at this here and I look at the players who are in the 20s.
Rudy Gobert.
Can you really say that Jaylen Brown, Rudy Gobert, Drew Holiday, these guys are better than Russell Westbrook?
No.
Chris Middleton?
No.
None of those.
Chris Middleton?
Exactly.
John Morant?
No.
Donovan Mitchell?
No.
No.
Kyrie Irving, no.
Karl Anthony Towns, it's hard to make a judgment, but no.
No.
I mean,
the list goes on with the
criteria are for putting him down that low.
Well, Sean hit the nail on the head.
I would kind of argue for Donovan Mitchell. I'm sorry. Donovan Mitchell is a better player.
I mean, okay, Donovan Mitchell's the only one on that list that comes close. But here's the thing.
Zion Williamson?
No.
Ranked 20th?
Yeah.
He's not the 20th best player in the NBA right now?
No.
I mean, this is the guy they're complaining about coming in fat two seasons in a row.
And who couldn't make the playoffs and hasn't made the playoffs
Chris
once.
Paul's number 18. Last year, he wasn't even on the 100.
Right. It's only because he took Phoenix so far. Listen, here's the thing about this list that, and I, the fact that we're having this debate at all and is exactly why these lists are insane. A, there's no agreeing, right? Even if we were to all be agree that Russ is, I mean, personally, I would rank Russ in the top 20. He's a triple double threat. He's taken teams that shouldn't go to the playoffs to the playoffs, something a lot of those other guys have never been able to do.
Record and in history.
He's never scored less than 20 points in a season since his second year in the league. Not once. Not once, even under 21 points a game. And that's for a guy who, quote unquote, can't shoot. And so on and so forth. Oh, somehow this guy who can't shoot and is just like terrible at basketball somehow manages to score 21 points a game.
I've never said he's terrible at basketball.
I'm not saying anybody here has. What I'm saying is that because he's 34th on that list, that Sean is exactly right, that this is about his relationship with the media, which has always been terrible, on purpose, by Russell Westbrook, and he doesn't care, right? Yeah. He probably didn't even look at this list, and somebody told him, bro, you're 34th on all day. He'd be like, let's check my give a meter, and it's at negative 10. I give negative 10 figs about this list because he doesn't care about this stuff. You know what he's going to care about? Putting W's in the W column and getting us into the playoffs and doing some damage and showing everybody that he should be a top 15.
He'll care about embarrassing the people who put him 34th.
He won't. Like, they don't play basketball. They don't play basketball. Right. They sit in a chair and go like this.
Is happening is turned into motivation.
They're like that cat meme at the piano.
LeBron James. LeBron James is on a revenge tour.
Did I say how much I missed you guys?
Every single one of the Lakers has some chip on their shoulder and revenge that they're going for when you think about it.
You mean every single... Wait. Do you mean every single one of the Lakers left?
Well...
Oh, I mean, everyone.
It's a whole new team.
Everybody on this team. Everybody on this team has something going on.
Sure,
that they want to prove.
Go ahead, Sean.
Gerald, I think there's a really important narrative that I got to be honest. I don't think the national NBA media and the sports media in general have really sunk their teeth into this. Here's the thing. We're all still, as Laker fans, grieving over the death of Kobe Bryant. But one of in Kobe's last interviews with Ahmad Rashad, he was asked, what player in the NBA today reminds you of you? He said, Russell Westbrook.
Russell Westbrook.
And the native son of LA has come back to the Lakers, and Kobe was the one who he would have passed the mantle to. So I think this is very important. I think there are a lot of things motivating Russ this year. And I happen to think that he's just going to destroy this narrative that he's, you know, washed.
This regular season, I think, is going to be a very good one for the Los Angeles Lakers. To me, it ultimately comes down to the playoffs and the matchups, and we'll go from there. But, yeah. You know, we'll see. That's for a conversation coming in March and April.
We're at least 2 weeks from that conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, Laker Tom already has us winning 70 wins.
And he's already
65 to 70.
And he's already traded half the roster three different
67
ways.
67 and a half. How about that in between? So, there you go. Go ahead, Sean.
So, Gerald, on a list of surprising things that I've heard as an NBA fan, I have to tell you, my friend, hearing whispers that the Philadelphia 76ers told Ben Simmons, you know what, Ben? If you fired Rich Paul, let's forget all this. We'll forget all this and we'll make up. On a list of surprising things I've ever heard, that was a 10 out of 10.
Well, I'm not surprised on that, you know, that they asked him to do that. Was that conversated or was that brought upon by Doc Rivers? Because I know Doc Rivers said to the press that he wanted to give one more good shot to try and bring Ben Simmons back into the fold. I didn't think that was going to go anywhere, but he wanted to give it the one last gung-ho try. But, you know, he couldn't
find a good enough trade.
And with Golden State, the owner Joe Lacob making comments and getting fined for it, saying that they weren't really interested in Ben Simmons and what he can bring. That does that. And then Minnesota, you saw what happened to Gerson Rosas and that whole debacle and the cheating on his wife with the office worker and the whole office politics there. And obviously the new interim GM who was actually wanted a job in Houston, but was denied access to going get it. And he was actually kicked off the facility at one time by Rosas earlier this month and all that drama. So, you know, we see what's going on there with Minnesota and, you know, are they going to be able to go in and package enough for Ben Simmons? I don't think they have a good enough package. I've been working on the trade machine personally that the new interim GM of Minnesota actually created. So all of you can thank him for creating the ESPN trade machine. And one of the things I brought up, and I'm just throwing out to you, it's a trade here. This worked, okay? I think it's a good trade for
Trader
both sides.
Trader Gerald,
okay? I think it's a good sign. This is the kind of trade that could actually save Luke Walton's job for 20 games as opposed to him being fired.
Trade that brings...
You know, as opposed to him being fired after 10, which I think is his ultimate thing that's going to happen. But in regards to, let's say we're going to take, off the top of my head, I think I had Ben Simmons, Matisse Thybulle, Tyrese Maxey, and Paul Reed, the kid from DePaul who did a great job, G League MVP. Those four traded for De'Aaron Fox and Marvin Bagley III.
Marvin Bagley, yeah.
Yes. So, you know, De'Aaron Fox is a good player, an all-star type player, but is he a franchise mover where, you know, he hasn't done it so far, but, you know, I know they would
not
be excited in Philadelphia.
He's a two or three.
But then again, with Sacramento's historically bad defense, getting two defensive stoppers in there. I don't know. I just think it's right there. It's right there on the table. You throw in some picks and everybody's happy. I think that would take care of the situation. I think Sacramento is in the lead for Ben Simmons right now. I think that's the ultimate destination. But before we head on out, guys, and before we hear the pitch from you on what's going on with LakerHolics.com, and, of course, the response I have for the all-time top 10 Lakers list, because I'm kind of mad at the LakerHolics because they got their butts kicked.
I'm working on it.
LakersBall.com kicked your butts, LakerHolics. So I'm just going to say But Jamie Sweet, real quick, is that a good trade? I think, or do you think Sacramento's involved in the mix? Because I think they're the leader right now.
I mean, I think that Philly blew it from the moment the playoffs ended to now. And I think they are going to walk away with not what they want in a trade, and they should move him as quickly as possible.
Yes.
Don't let Doc Rivers muddy the water anymore. Don't no more media. Every time anything comes out about, oh, this is what's going on with his value just continues to, like, you know, it's like a 747 with no power. It's got nowhere to go but down. And so they got to get out. I mean, I know Daryl Morey prides himself on getting, like, awesome returns on everything, and I'm such a great GM. He's not going to be a great GM on this one, and he just needs to suck it up and move on. And if he doesn't, and they start the season with him on the roster, which is kind of inconceivable at this point, they'll be lucky to move him for a value of money that equals his salary, that they won't be eating money on top of it. So I would imagine that all of the teams that are looking to break into the playoffs this season are kind of in the mix on some level. It's just that they're all such dysfunctional dumpster fires that I don't know that they're going to be able to pull the trigger on something like that, that they might be like, well, maybe if we hold out for a little longer. So I think it's really just going to come down to, when does Daryl Morey accept the fact that he's lost, that he's not going to get an all-star or a superstar, and that he's not going to get a treasure trove of first round draft picks? Because nobody's going to offer that, and or at least nobody should. Nobody should. They should be like, fine, start him with you. You got him. Enjoy. He's under contract for, I believe, 3 more seasons. I mean, 2 after this one. So, you know, enjoy. If I were a GM, I'd be like, my offer is $2 million below his contract value and some second round draft picks. And if you don't like it, feel free to improve upon it, because I'm not going to give you the farm for a guy who real. I mean, you want to talk about a point guard who can't shoot. He doesn't, not only, I don't even know, he doesn't shoot, so it's hard to know. Yeah, he won't shoot, right? So that's worse than can. He won't. Yep. So now you're in a
guaranteed not to go in if you won't shoot.
Exactly. 100% of the time, it's not going in. So I don't know why anyone, unless you're so focused on improving your defense and you think you can convince them to slot over to like a 3 spot and keep like a point guard on the floor with him who can shoot, so that he's more of like a Magic Johnson hybrid. I mean, I know you slot him in at the point guard position, but you surround him with 2 other like really good shooting guards. One of them, like a Kendrick Nunn, somebody who can make plays, shoot the ball, score onside, score outside, a little bit of everything. I mean, I don't see Minnesota not ever seeing what D'Angelo Russell and Karl Anthony Towns can do. And they haven't yet. So I don't see D'Angelo Russell being involved in the deal for Ben Simmons. And let's be honest, the one thing D'Angelo Russell can do is shoot. That's like his best skill by far. I like your trade for Sacramento. I don't think Daryl Morey likes that trade.
Well, De'Aaron Fox is a perennial all-star. That, you're getting that in return. You're not, like you said, there's declining returns, you know, by the day.
Small point guard.
The Marvin Bagley part of it is what I don't see him taking the Marvin Bagley bag. I don't see him taking the baggage.
It's called salary matchups. It works.
No, I understand, but he'll want to push for.
How much does Ben make now?
18 something, I want to say. Maybe 20 something, something like that. 18 to 20.
But Ben has 4 years and $164 million left.
That is correct. Field.
Jeez Louise. Right. He's wherever he's going. 4 years
divided by 164 is like $40 million a year.
Yeah.
That's a little more than 20 or 18.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Yeah, you're right. Okay. Yeah, no, I'm my bad. So he's regardless. He's
making $33 million this year, just to let you know.
None in THT is not enough, I guess, huh?
I guess not.
Not quite. We'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Needing an edge for your fantasy football team? Listen to the guys at Inside Sports Fantasy Football for insight that will help you reach your league championship. That's Inside Sports Fantasy Football. Check it out today on your favorite podcast outlet. But guys, before we head on out, I just want to go ahead and make sure everybody knows that we've got a lot of great shows on the way. More great team outlooks. I know we've got, again, the Atlanta Hawks. They're coming on the way as far as a great preview there. Also other ones as well. I know I cannot thank Sean enough for being on the front end of this podcast talking to Toronto Raptors. If you have a team that you really are proud of that you want to go ahead also talk about the Lakers, give me a heads up. LakersFastBreak@yahoo.com or at LakersFastBreak on Twitter. I'm still looking to try and get all 30 teams or as close as I can to it before the season starts. So I like to get that perspective from fans that are not Lakers fans on how they perceive their own team, and then also as well how they perceive the Lakers as an outsider. So I like to get that gauge on where they stand. So hopefully we can continue that. Although, Jamie, I saw you raising your hand.
Is there I wanted to know if you wanted podcasters or fans. I know some fans of the Sacramento Kings. I know
podcasters, fans, doesn't matter who. Anybody wants to talk about that as far as I'm concerned. So just getting some fans out there and seeing what they think, you know, podcasters alike, reporters, whatnot, just to give us an insight on the other teams that are out there in the NBA. But before we head on out, I know there's some things that you guys are working on. We'll talk about the all-time top 10 Lakers and the Lakerholics response here at the end. But Laker Tom, I'm going to start with you. What you got planned and what you're working on. I saw a great article that you dropped today on Twitter at Laker Tom. So what's going on at Lakerholics.com?
Yeah, I really like this article. It's sometimes, you know, it, as Jamie will accuse me of being tunnel targeted on certain topics.
I'm pretty sure you've written slight modifications of the same article.
One of my skill sets, Jamie, is the ability to find new ways of saying the same thing.
Oh, I've
worked on that hard.
It's an art form, Jamie. It's an art form.
I have nothing but recognition for that skill.
So the article, the article I just posted today is, how much will LeBron, AD, and Russ have to change their games to win? And it's kind of interesting because there's a nice corollary, because you can look back at the Brooklyn Nets last year. And we followed the exact same path the Brooklyn Nets did. We had two superstars. So we went out and signed a superstar point guard to be the third superstar. They got James Harden. We got Russell Westbrook. Their solution in integrating their three superstars was to tell James, don't shoot as much and pass more. And so he dropped from 35 points a game to 25 points a game, increased his assists from 6 to 10, and voila, other than having all three of them injured at various times of the year, the Nets have a superstar big three. Now, the Lakers, on the other hand, the Lakers looked at this differently, and that's the point of the article to a certain extent. And what they did is they said, well, wait a minute. If we trade for Russell Westbrook, it's going to be hard to tell Russ to cut down on what he does, because he's like an organism, you know. You everything is connected, man. You try to chop off part of that and you won't get what you got.
Right.
So they instead turned it around into an opportunity to play small. And that's what that meeting with LeBron and AD and Russ 2 weeks before free agency last summer was all about. How do we make that work? And the approach wasn't for LeBron and AD to say to Russ, well, listen, Russ, you're the new guy. You're coming to our team. You're the guy who's got to sacrifice. Instead, it was LeBron and AD saying to themselves, what do we have to do to make Russ fit, to make this whole thing work? And the way it works is basically they got to slide to the 4 and 5. And that's exactly why they wanted a playmaker, because they want the ball out of LeBron's hands, because they want to rest him and extend his career. They want to reduce his workload. And then Russ can do that. And then allows LeBron to move to the 4. And a slimmer LeBron at the 4 is going to be a beast for any of these other power forwards to try to contain. And he's still going to get his share of assists, and he's still going to, but him on the boards and him getting post moves is going to be deadly. And then the biggest prize of all of the thing is AD moving to the 5. And, you know, we've, for 2 years now, we've just been bending over backwards to accommodate Anthony's dislike of playing the 5 and preference to playing the 4. We've been over so far last year that it screwed us. You know, I mean, we traded our two centers and we don't have anybody to protect the rim at all. And when we bring in a third center, give him a starting role, and AD plays 10% and the regular season and 20% of the playoffs at center. And the whole thing is just a total mess. So this whole thing, the opportunity to get Russell Westbrook is to make that transformation to a small ball lineup, small ball on steroids, if you will. And it's going to be the big difference maker, even if Frank Vogel cannot help himself from wasting the first 6 minutes of each half by starting Dwight Howard and having no shooters on the floor. I mean, if he wants to get defense, put AD at the five, LeBron at the four, and then put your two best defenders, Bazemore and Ariza, in that lineup and start them and go for defense all the way around. You still got a couple of three-point shooters in there. You got balance. You got, you know, you're going to be a great team in that sense. I think they still need to instead really rely upon the younger legs of guys like Nunn and guys like Monk, because it's going to be a long season and they're going to be the JaVale McGee's and the Dwight Howard's that eat up minutes during the regular season. It'll be the guards, the young guards, the THT, the Nunk and Monk and Nunn, because those are the guys who've got those young legs and can do that. So I'm really happy with where the Lakers are. I probably won't be shocked, because Frank is impossible to shock me knowing what he's done in the past. But I do have faith that in the end, he understands that defense is the most important thing. And our best defense is when Anthony Davis is at the five. There is no question about that. And I also think, too, that there's something to be said about honing your game, fine-tuning it during the year, figuring out who it works with, which players should go against which teams when you're playing them. There's a lot that you can learn and strategize during the regular season so that you go into the playoffs ready to go. This whole idea of let's hide Anthony Davis at the five and spring him on people in the playoffs. And what a shocker. It comes down to the same thing. If a team wants to start two bigs against the Lakers, we should not roll out two bigs against them, because all that does is prevent us from playing our best lineup, which is exactly what they want. Instead, we should go small and play their big off of the damn floor. That's what the Lakers should do. And that's what I think they're going to do with AD, LeBron at the four and five right from the start of the season.
I was reading articles based off of starting points from at Laker Tom on Twitter, and I was looking at the articles and going through it and reading them, and okay, you know, got what changes will LeBron and AD make, a superstar laden article. Then you've got another one in regards to, like you said, with the Nets, and I was reading that one, that's a superstar laden article. And then you had another one, which is a superstar laden article. And then you had another one, superstar. And then there's all of a sudden I there, saw, well, hold on. All of a sudden I saw on at Laker Tom on Twitter, on, you know, as I went down the news feed, I saw an article that was written in regards to Kendrick Nunn and what his outlook may be for, could he get a starting spot? And I was really excited to read that. And then I realized it's silver screen and roll. So yeah, well, yeah. Right one on that, Tom. Kendrick Nunn, Malik Monk, you know, the young guys. That should be your next one.
Well, this is a great segue, because that's exactly what I'm working on for nine, the other Lakers who nobody talks about anymore. Fair enough.
So Jamie Sweet, since you gave us a taste, what are you working on at Lakerholics.com?
Two things. One, what are the Lakers not named LeBron James, Russell Westbrook, and Anthony Davis going to bring to the table? Since we have a better idea of who's on the roster now than we did a couple months ago.
Leave that to Laker Tom. He's got that covered.
That's what I mean. I'm not touching those three. We've done enough. I don't even think we've actually officially welcomed Dave Fizdale as a coach on the website, now that I'm thinking about it. I don't think we ever recognized.
Just don't get Kristaps Porzingis around him.
Everybody's vaccinated. We forgot about that news. That's
everybody's really vaccinated as well.
They will be by the season.
They will be by the season.
Rob Pelinka. Right. Yeah,
that's all I care about. Yeah. Same with New York and same with Golden State, except for Anthony Wiggins.
Andrew Wiggins.
Whatever. He'll be traded for. But anyway,
Kyrie Irving and Andrew Wiggins are going to have some big decisions to make.
Well, yeah.
Kyrie Irving's just going to pull a Jim Brown and retire.
Or a lot of money. I mean, but go ahead.
They turned down Wiggins' appeal for a religious.
That's correct.
No, that'll be the same thing that Kyrie filed. You know, this religious thing there.
But what you working on at Lakerholics.com? Anything else, my friend?
I mean, I'm just getting ready to preview the season. Training camp's about ready to open up. So I've been, you know, a lot of these things. It's been dog days, and you know, there's been a lot of people posting their own things on the site. So I thought it was nice to kind of like let the site breathe a little bit and have everybody. There's been a lot. What I've loved is all the people who, from the old blog and a couple of new faces, have started posting a little bit more regularly, and that's exciting. So I encourage that. Wanted to say I really enjoyed your interview with Megan, the woman who was
that was a good one.
Really,
Megan Price.
Really,
yes,
better than Megan Price.
She had some really great insight on the Spurs, and I hadn't considered the coaching record that Pop was going for. And once she said that, I was like, oh, Pop ain't going nowhere.
Being True. That as the man, the only fully embraced and liked individual on this show, what are you working on at Lakerholics.com?
Good segue.
Yeah, Gerald, you know, it's really interesting, as we talked about this ESPN 100 list. If you look at the list, Luka Doncic is rated at a certain position, and Trae Young is rated in another position. Now, forgive me if I'm wrong, but Luka Doncic has not made it out of the first round of the playoffs yet. Am I correct?
That is correct.
Trae Young made it to a conference finals.
Yep. Now, that's correct. No matter what asterisks you want to put on it, same thing with Phoenix, same thing with Milwaukee. No. I mean, those are the same kind of asterisks that people try to put on the Lakers when they won their bubbles. So if you don't want to do it, if we can't do it for the Lakers, we can't do it for them. So I agree with you, my friend.
I don't even do it for the 99 Spurs.
All I'm trying to say is I don't believe Luka Doncic, who is a great player, by the way, is twice the player that Trae Young is. I think that Trae Young is underrated right now as an offensive juggernaut. And the reason why he's underrated is because there is such a negative view of him and implication of him defensively. But what people really don't understand, and it flew under the radar, is that the Atlanta Hawks made a really great hire over the offseason. And they hired Nick Van Exel to do one thing, and that's to turn Trae Young into a monster. And I think, and it's just my impression, Gerald, I think that Nick Van Exel will have the same impact on Trae Young that Joe Brady had on Joe Burrow. And Joe Burrow went from being an undrafted NFL prospect to being the number one pick overall. He had probably the greatest college season in American history, Gerald. I think that Nick Van Exel can give Trae Young that shot in the arm. I really do. Their games are so similar. I think, again, like, no offense, but I think people like yourself and others underrate what he truly is as an offensive juggernaut.
Me?
Yes. I think you're a little down on him because, you know, he's
Trae 6 Young? Feet.
Yeah, I think you're a little down on him because of, you know, the defensive liability. But, you know, he didn't choose to be 6 feet. That was God's plan. But,
You got to give him, I mean, we'll see in a matchup series. I mean, he would manage to go ahead and get out of 3 series. And he was not exploited like I think a lot of individuals thought that
he really wasn't.
Yeah. I mean, Atlanta, and I give credit to Nate McMillan for hiding him on the defensive end really well and doing a great job there. So it never really became a factor. But there is a day-to-day issue, a game-to-game issue on his man-to-man defense that he needs to try at least get to the point where he could be acceptable. And if he does, his offensive game is absolutely tremendous. And I will not cut him short.
You can
there.
Almost
I
say the not. Same thing about Luka that you just said about Trae.
Because Luka's different. Luka is
a defensive liability in a different sense.
Yeah, but yes. Luka is someone who can go ahead and I think I don't know. I think of the two, I'd probably lean a little bit to slightly towards Luka overall. But then again, like you said, who is the individual who took their team to the conference final? So maybe as a leader, you have to see it give. Definitely right
What's
now.
What's your redraft of that draft? Who would you
Trae
take?
Young. Well, first off, if I was Vlade Divac, I would go ahead and make sure that.
right. You don't trade the pick.
Go ahead and recollect on that one. So, yeah, that was.
Oh,
yeah.
Gerald.
I don't see anybody in the top three.
Let's go pick Bagley. Yeah, there you go.
Luka was the player. I don't see how anybody could have not.
He was just simply sensational. And Trae Young, you saw he was lighting up everything. He was leading the country in points and assists. I mean, that speaks for itself. But need I digress? That's another podcast for another day. And I know Rafael Barlow on Locked On NBA Draft Podcast covers stuff like that on a weekly basis. But I will say this before we head on out, we had our top 10 all-time Lakers and the Lakerholics. I'm kind of disappointed in you guys out there. that are following Laker Hollywood. So you're getting a lot of traffic to the
site.
You're
all taking a vacation like Jamie did.
Or like I did earlier. So, you know,
I went camping and I went and saw fish. That's it. That's not a vacation.
It's like August in Europe, man. I mean,
mine was 2 weeks September, in Hawaii. I'll take
September
that.
For Laker yeah. fans.
But go ahead, Sean. I know you've been very active on that column that I put up there. So I appreciate your efforts there to try and spice things up. But any last thoughts on this before we head on out?
Gerald, you're on the top of my list for getting stuff done tomorrow. I bought some coffee beans. I'm ready to go. I need to catch up on Gerald isn't the only one who kicked me in the keister this week about getting your stuff in gear. So I'm ready to go tomorrow. And when when the Podfather sees the website tomorrow, it will be up there. I promise.
Oh, okay. The Podfather is the definitely Podfather. Your new name, and it should say that on your little deal, Bob. Right,
the Podfather, here. Indeed. The Podfather.
Want me to change that?
Yeah, I'm sure that will get changed, whether I like it or not.
Instead of podcast editor, you could be the Podfather.
I think that's 100% yes, Tom.
Okay, fair enough, indeed. But if you have any questions for us out there, truly appreciate you listening all the way through. Please go ahead and let us know. LakersFastBreak at yahoo.com, at LakersFastBreak on Twitter, at LakerTom. I know Magic Man put at LakersFastBreak on Instagram. Is that correct?
Yes, we're at Lakerholics _authentic.
Okay. So, and I have a Lakers Fast Break on Instagram. I never use it, but maybe I'll start. So there you go, Lakerholics right there for you. Just too many social medias for too many podcasts. You know, what you going to do as the Podfather? But before we head on out, guys, I wanted to go ahead and just wish you guys well this week. This is training camp. We're hopefully there'll be no injuries. That's what I'm rooting for the most. We'll go ahead and have a deeper discussion on what's going on in training camp on our next time we get together for the Lakerholics. Tune in again. I've got a lot of great shows coming up, including more team previews, more Lakerholics. Yes, more Joe Sorrell from LakersBall.com and more great stuff on the way. I know you guys are not thrilled about that part of it, but
again, once you get into the discussion about the vaccination of players, you know, with Joe. I think that would
again, you're stepping on landmines. That's all again. These are things I don't really want to know
But that's a big turn, man. I mean,
Vaccination.
What is Wiggins going
to
do?
I am vaccinated, and I think everybody out there should make an effort to go ahead.
I think it's just great that all of the Laker players are being vaccinated.
That's according to Rob Pelinka. We don't know if that's going to be the case as of yet.
He wouldn't have said that without making sure. Because they would have had to be gotten their first shots in order to be by time season starts. They have to have had their first shots by now.
We'll see. We'll see. Talk to the Masked Singer on that one.
Shot
talk
on Sunday at CBS.
Gerald's got to go, everybody. Let's let him get on with
We got to send it out. But again, if you have any questions for us, at Lakers Fast Break, at Laker Tom, also Lakerholics on Instagram. Lakerholics on Facebook. We've got a great group there. Lakers Fast Break on Facebook. Follow us there. We truly appreciate it. Again, thank you so much for watching. V Garcia was back on this week watching us, so we want to give a big shout out to him in San Antonio. Thank you so much for listening, taking the time to checking us out, and we'll look forward to hearing more from you out there, LakersFastBreak@yahoo.com, but also these great guys right here at Lakerholics. Be part of the conversation today at Lakerholics.com. Well, right now, it's training camp. We're looking good. Hopefully, a great season is on the way. And we'll keep updating you on everything Lakers right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.